Are you ready to step beyond your sexual walls? We're here to talk about anything you want. This is the Sisters of Sexuality show, featuring Taylor Sparks, Parrish Michelle Blair, Jet Setting Jasmine, Marla Renee Stewart, and Tiffany Janae. We have so much to talk about today, so let's just get things started. Here are your hosts, Taylor, Parrish, Jasmine, Marla, and Tiffany.
Hello, everyone. This is Taylor Sparks, your sister of sexuality and co-host of today's show, Five Shades of Play. And I am here with my co-host. Say hello.
Hi, I'm Parrish Michelle Blair, and I'm happy to talk about sexy stuff.
Yay! We have such an exciting show for you today. We have two guests. Our first guest coming up is Dr. Valerie Papel. Her and her husband, Gerard, are co-founders of the Swan Center. They are both clinical sexologists, sex coaches, and certified sexuality educators. Dr. Valerie and her husband, Gerard, coach singles and couples, helping them with all sexual concerns. They specialize in coaching clients in the autism spectrum scale, sexual dysfunction, sexual matters, and veterans. Additionally, as a couple, they provide expertise to leading organizations, companies, and the media, ensuring a comprehensive approach to sexuality. And they also design and present international training programs and workshops. And both Parrish and I have had the opportunity to be in the same environment with Dr. Valerie. Her and I get mistaken for each other all the time. We had to actually do a whole Black Girl Magic thing on the Bliss Cruise about, we are not one, we are three. So, Dr. Valerie, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I am so super excited to be on this podcast. I'm honored and I'm excited to get this sexy going, ladies.
I love the fact that you are live and in the moment at Hedo. I hear some stuff going on in the background. So how sexy is it right now? I wish I was there.
I know.
You know, for those that I'm in Jamaica. I am at a star resort, a swingers resort called Hedonism. And it is pretty sexy here. I tell you, there are lots of beautiful, sexy people here from all over the world that have open minds to fun and sexuality, to be nude, and just be loving and supportive. And it's amazing what happens when you take your clothes off. You take that costume of life off and just be a human being. It's so freaking sexy.
Wait, are you naked right now? Are you telling us you're naked right now, Valerie?
I am naked right now. Now, as I am, I don't have a stitch of clothes on my naked ass. Yes.
Let me see.
We're going to turn this into a video, into a video show right quick so everybody can see your lovely boobs.
I've got two questions I want to ask. How many questions do you have off the top, sis? Do you want to ask?
No, you go. You ask your questions
okay,
first.
Okay, Valerie, I've got two questions for you. First off, just hearing how synergistically you and your husband work together, and I've seen you guys together in that rhythm that you have while you're working, I wanted to know your love story. How did you meet each other?
Ooh, oh my God, that's a great story. Thank you, Pesh. You know, I lived in the Middle East for a very long time. I speak Arabic, and while I was living there, right before the Arab Spring popped off, I came back home to the United States to visit my mom, who was ill. My husband at the time was coming over from Germany. And on the flight over, his best friend, his brother, had died. To speed up the story, we met at a hotel lobby. And this man was staring at me, who is my husband now. And I thought he was just really checking me out, to be honest, because he was just like staring. I walked over to him, introduced myself to him, and he told me that on the flight over, which was a 7-hour flight from Germany, he had lost his best friend and his brother. And he was actually in a state of mourning and shock. And from that moment, I knew he was the one for me. And wow. Within 2 hours, my husband, the man that I met at the hotel lobby, said, "I love you." within 2 hours.
I got goosebumps.
I know. Oh my gosh, Valerie.
I already knew it was an intense, beautiful story. I just wanted to know. So can we fast forward a little bit? I'm so thankful that you want to share this part of who you are and what that part of your work. But how were you able to advance from I love you almost at first sight, we're soulmates, the universe coordinated all of this together, but hey, you want to swing? You know, or you want to talk about sex, or how did you guys evolve your relationship into being educators, and how did that journey start?
Right. My husband, and I say this with all the love I can for our culture, you know, my husband's German, and the Germans are known, and it's bad to say, but they're stereotyped to be a very open European culture sexually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, BDSM, mm-hmm. swinging, you name it. I call them the freaks of Europe. I love you Germans, but that's what I call you, right? And so my husband is actually the one that introduced me to the lifestyle. And he did it in a way which was quite interesting because I come from a BDSM background as a dominatrix. And I'm like, why would I possibly want to share my sub? I've trained them the way I want them. I'll be damned if I want to share them. I mean, that just made no freaking logical sense to me.
Right.
And from that, we got into the lifestyle. And for us, the lifestyle is the people. It's not even about the sex for us. It's about the education that we provide, but it's really about the amazing people like you and Taylor that we've met on this beautiful journey. People in the lifestyle are just open and they're sex positive and they just have a way of being that's not judgmental, and that's very far and few in the world today. They're not judgmental people, and I love that about them.
How has your journey evolved from connecting with your soulmate, being introduced into a community that's new for you, and trusting the person that's leading you in that journey, you know, relatively speaking? How right. did it evolve to where you became in alignment with all of these, you know, leaders in travel, adult travel, to where they trust you to communicate these very intimate subjects with their clients? How did that happen for you both?
Well, for us, we have a son that is autistic. He has Asperger's. And this, and I'll talk about this briefly, and it leads me to answer your question, Parrish. We have a son that is has Asperger's, and he's an adult now. He's 30 years old. And one of the tragedies of watching him grow up was that he was sexually and socially awkward. He could not date. He was the epitome of a 30-year-old virgin. Because of his social awkwardness, he was not able to find anyone that would talk to him. And when I began to search in America for things for education for this population, it was non-existent. They're just dropped once they reach the age of 18. There's no sexual education for helping them be sexual and human beings. And I said, this is horrific. And as I did my research, I noted that a lot of these individuals end up in the system. In the system for child molestation, for sexual exposure, for doing things because they don't know how to express their sexuality. They're sexually ignorant and what to do. And I told my husband, I'm like, you know what? My greatest fear is that when we die, our son will never have found love. And that broke my heart.
Yes.
And this became a mission. It became a mission working in the autistic spectrum to teach young adults about human sexuality. So I'm a lawyer by profession, actually. I actually went back to college and studied and got my doctorates in philosophy, and I specialized in human sexuality. And that got me into the lifestyle and teaching, because I was one of the few in the country that actually did a research on swingers. It had not been done since 2001,
Wow.
That's when that was actually done.
A lot has changed for everybody sexually since 2001.
Absolutely. And all the research that was done, you know, minorities, women of color, they were non-existent. They didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nowhere. And it really honestly, it pissed me the heck off. It pissed me off that all these researchers, these white male researchers, no one bothered to look at the spectrum of people of color in the lifestyle. It was all white males. And it was also funny, not even funny, they never even talked about women. There was no research about women or women of color or anyone other than white males.
And women practically run the lifestyle. And as a woman of color, for those of you who've yet to see her picture, you know, Dr. Valerie is a black woman, African American woman.
Beautiful
black woman. I'm happy to be mistaken for her. I just need her boobs. And, and her beautiful dreamy bedroom eyes. But as a woman of color, you know, Parrish and I both have worked in and been around, you know, the lifestyle. What have you yourself noticed, but personally and professionally, the difference of African Americans in the lifestyle and our approach to sex and sexuality within the lifestyle than our white counterparts?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great question. You know, one thing that I noted is that, number one, there's an increase of African American women, women of color, coming to the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. When I first got into this, 12, 14 years ago, it was hardly no women of color that were in the lifestyle. It was mostly still a very predominantly white subculture. And that's what we call it. It is an alternative lifestyle to subculture of sexuality. So there was very few people of color in the subculture of the lifestyle swinging. And over the last, I would say, 5 to 8, 9 years, there's been an influx of women of color in the lifestyle. And it is mind-boggling to see them, and it's inspiring for me to hear their stories. You mentioned the differences, and part of my research that I did was, as women of color, we come into the world as 4 stereotypes, and it is what it is. You know, we come in as the mammy, always taking care of the master's kids and cooking and cleaning. And then we're still stereotyped that way today, the aunt your mama. And we're stereotyped as a sapphire, the emasculating, I'm going to snap my hair and whip my head around in my neck and tell off a brother and, you know, just tell them how we feel with all this energy. And so that's a sapphire. Or we're coming to it as the Jezebel, the whore, the wantonness black woman that's ready to fuck, excuse my French, and be fucked by
you can say fuck here.
So Valerie, you named 4 areas that you were able to identify. We got to go to commercial, but I want you to develop that a little bit more, because that, you know, there's all types of people that are listening to us right now, but for a brown woman that says, oh my goodness, she's resonating with me, I need to find my space. I think it would be good if you could develop that a little bit more on the other side of our break, because this is technical research that you've come up with, you've observed, you understand, and I think you can help some people that are hesitant to go to where their tribe is, you know, which is this lifestyle. So you feel comfortable with that?
Absolutely.
Yay.
Let's go there.
Okay.
Yay.
Well, cool. Yeah, because I really want to flesh out more as well with the Jezebel. We have the Mammy. We have the Aunt Jemima. And we have the Sapphire. So
right,
the same order. And that's the subject that I also have been talking to about a very good friend of mine who is a African-American history professor. And we've been talking a lot about that. So as soon as we come back from the break, we are going to talk more with Dr. Valerie Papel of the Swan Center. And she is our guest today on Sisters of Sexuality. And we are sponsored by Lifestyle Cruising. We'll be right back, folks.
Organic lovin', for the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious? Playful? Maybe sensual? Adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toy materials, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adults-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you. For the bodies you love to love, visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com. You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. That's sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to Five Shades of Play. I'm always thinking sex. Five Shades of Sex. Everything's about sex. But we are here having a wonderful conversation. And by we, I mean Taylor Sparks, one of the other sisters of sexuality.
She can't talk today. Would you take your dick out your mouth?
What a beautiful mouth she has. I've seen her mouth.
Now, isn't it gorgeous?
We're having, I think, a beautiful discussion with Dr. Valerie on so many different levels. Before we went to break, Valerie was bringing up, what were the four...
The four stereotypes of African-American women surrounding sex, if you will. So the four stereotypes were the Jezebel, the Aunt Jemima, the Sapphire, and the Mammy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you would expand upon that or expand upon that thought a little bit for us, we would love to hear more about that, Dr. Valerie.
Absolutely. These stereotypes, and I want you guys to really hear me when I say this to your community. It is absolutely probably the most horrific things I can think of for a group of women to be classified in only four ways, and none of them are positive. You hear that, right, ladies and gents out there?
That's right.
One of them is an uplifting spiritual woman. It's all something that's degrading. And when social science and scientists looked at this, it, for me as a Black woman, it hurt. I don't know how else to say it to you. It just hurt. Because we are, as women, we're all that and then some. Just not because if I'm Black, but because, hey, I can catch a mood quickly. Sometimes I have to get my freak on. I am all that and then some. But to classify a group of women is such a way is horrific. But that is what our country, our perception around the world is. This goes back to actually slavery. When we were taken from the coast of the continent of Africa, when we were captured, you know, they noted how open we were. Remember when it was hot? I mean, think about it. I've been to Africa many times. It's hot there.
It's fucking hot.
Yeah, I mean, it's Africa fucking hot. It's not like Florida hot. That's another kind of hot. Mm-hmm, it's hot. Mm-hmm. And so when they were taken, they noted that they were half naked, scantily clothed, as they said. The slave catchers noted that in some of the information that I've seen from various manifests and diaries from actual slave catchers that are held in the British Archive Museum. And then in London, I've actually read those where these women were scantily dressed. And it was our own Thomas Jefferson, one of our presidents, who said that the orangutan would rather fuck a Black woman than its own species. Now, this was a man. Yes, it was in his presidential letter. Yes, it was, ladies and gents. Yes, it was. I know, close your mouth as you hear that. Because when I read it, he said this as a president of our country at that time, that, you know, the Black woman, the slave, enslaved Black woman, she was of wantonness nature, that an orangutan, an ape, would rather have sex with her than its own kind. But this was a mindset, and when we were taken, this prevailed when we got shores of the Americas, where we were classified as the big, round, voluptuous, big, thick woman that was the nanny, that was the cook, that was taking care of the master's kid, that was the wet nurse. And then you had this other classification of women, which we'll talk about because it's about our sexuality, which is this Jezebel. The Jezebel is a woman that the historians noted that she was normally a woman of African descent, mm-hmm. that was more European featured. Now, they had to clean her up a little bit, right? They had to whitify her a little bit.
to make her more attractive.
They had to whitify her. Yeah.
To make her
and,
more
and, over, and probably over abuse and sexualize, you know, in order for her to fit in that category as well.
Absolutely. So they whitified her. They identified the Jezebel, you know, in the slave boxes, this lighter skin, black female, softer features. And she was sold as a, many call it a comfort woman, a woman that would bed and take care of the master's son, the overseer. Sure. You know, and that was her role. And this role of the Jezebel is something that was prolific in the U.S. during slavery. You know, there were more children born of mixed race in the era of slavery than there are today. And keep
in
mind, these women, it was a consensual. It was illegal. It was rape. Our ancestors were raped. And if you believe, as I do, as many might, you know, that the DNA that is carried into our DNA as we evolve from our mothers, grandmothers, et cetera, this is in our DNA. And it's in our genes, this horrific legacy, but yet a beautiful legacy of strength that we come from. But it's hard to find a horrific legacy. And unfortunately, this legacy of the Jezebel goes, unfortunately, hand in hand with us today. As young black women, I know from mine, I'll speak about my own parenting, my mom and dad, you know, good girls don't, right?
Right.
Because my mom has said, you know, black girls, you know, we have to do twice as much to get just 1/10 of the recognition, right? We all know the story. We have to do twice as much, right? To get just a little bit of recognition. And because we're already seen as this whore, you know, my mother, we say, you know, keep your legs closed. Good girls don't, you know, you can't go to church, you know, the church. And in a way, what it did for many of us, it stifled our sexuality. We never were given the opportunity to explore our sexuality. It had to be suppressed because our mothers and grandmothers did not want us to be looked at as Jezebel.
As a Jezebel, yeah, as a whore. And if I could jump in to say something when it relates back to those of us who work in the industry of open lifestyle or polyamory or even kink, there are not that many African American educators in the swinging lifestyle and the open lifestyle community, although there are many African American women educators in the area of sex. I find that I've actually been told by some Caucasian men that I should have more sex with more clients and my business would grow. And I'm like, no, because even in this open arena, I have discovered it's still not equal across the board.
Right.
Have you experienced that as well? Not saying it's bad or good or whatever. I'm just saying it's even looked upon differently, whether it's being fetishized or fantasized or any of that, you know, because there's nothing wrong with being fetishized if you enjoy it, you know?
Right.
So it's not like it's a bad thing.
You know, objectification and fetishizing of one's color for the one that's doing it is absolutely, it's something that it's not, I wouldn't smile upon it, put it like that. Okay. And to answer your question, yeah, I have been that. You know, my first encounter in the lifestyle, I was at a party and a white male approached me and he said to me, you know, ooh, you know, we've never had a black woman at our party before. Oh, we're going to get it in tonight. And I'm looking at him like, I don't know you. And like, why are you thinking that? And he tried to kiss me. And I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't there rules? Like, don't you have to ask me and shit before you start trying to touch me? And this is like my first experience. And I was grabbing my husband's pant leg using our code word, like, get me the fuck out of here. Because
wow.
I felt really, you know, but he automatically, he'd been this white male, automatically thought that he could do this, that he could touch me without permission. And that began my research into why. And as I talked to more women of color, it was a It was a story that resonated throughout the community that, you know, we became an object to a conquest. I cannot tell you how many times I have had white males come up to me and say to me, I've never been with a black woman before. Well, I'm like, well, motherfucker, you're not tonight either. What can I do?
It's happened to a lot of us. And within, you know, working in a lifestyle or just being in a lifestyle, even as clients and having a good time. And it either resonates with you or not, because I know some sisters who are like, hey, let me be your first. It's a good thing.
Yes.
It doesn't bother them at all. Exactly. You know what I mean? And I've had those exceptions to the rule. I'm like, oh, my God, you're so cute. Let me be your first. But it's been after some time of getting to know the person. So, it's so the fetishizing could be good for you or it could not be good for you. I just think it's the you know, it's up to the person. You have thoughts on that?
Well, I've got questions, and it's mainly I'm very intrigued about Valerie, because all the times we've been together in the almost 3 years that I've been with Organic Lovin' on my own tour, when I run into you, I'm very curious about you, but we never have any time to spend, you know, girlfriend time or, you know, getting to know each other. So knowing more about you, I have two more questions. I want to know, have you had to re-educate your husband? You know, and how has that been for you, knowing these categories that most, you know, people who are not of color think about black women? How did you have a successful interracial relationship with him and, you know, sexual relationship with him? And I want to check back in about your son. How is his life now?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll answer the first one. You know, when I was doing the research, and my research involved over 1,000 women of color in the lifestyle. And when I was doing the research, and it also involved over 1,000 white males. It's two segments. It's white males and white female, black females. And when I was doing the research and the historical context of what I found out, you know, I became an angry black woman. I was angry. I was angry for my ancestors. I was angry for the lineage that these black women experienced to bring me into the world today. And my heart was hurt. And knowing, here I have this white man next to me that loves and adores me. When I looked at him, I'm like, so did you marry me because I'm black? He's like, no. I'm like, so you just like black pussy, right? He's like, I just like pussy now. I don't care if it's black.
Because all pussy's pink at the end of the day.
Exactly. It became this thing where my color for me became important. And it wasn't for him. And he was like, what is this with you? I'm like, he was like, I'm thinking that you're just fetishizing me. Like if my husband asked me that I want some fried chicken to eat, I'm like, why? Because I'm black. You know, we came back with the
conversation. Okay, wait, so your relationship, in essence, you know, I when I asked the question, we got to have more time. I want to have you on one of my episodes of Five Absolutely. Shades of Clay, but I didn't know, you know, we're, you know, almost running out of time. But in essence, you went through some self-healing and things through this relationship so you could release some of that internal stuff that that we are still dealing with as, you know, a race of people because it's in our emotional DNA and all of that. Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So to answer, yes, I had to heal. After the research was done, you know, my mentor, who is a black doctor, Dr. Lloyd Williams, if anyone's doing a doctoral work, this man has 5 doctorates. He has 5. A black male in Arizona, phenomenal doctor, that walked me through this process. And he says, you guys need to heal. You know, Val's spirit is hurting because it's ancestrally, and we need to heal her and heal this. Mm-hmm. And so we did, you know,
that's powerful.
We're back.
It coming from, you know, someone who has a doctor to support that. I before we run out of time, Valerie, I hope your son's doing well. But before we run out of time, can you give us at least 3 of your social media spots where people can explore more about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for those who are listening out there in podcast land, I love this so much. Please reach out to me if you have any questions, concerns. You can reach me at www.swancenter.com, and that's SWANNcenter.com. You can also feel free to email me, and that's Valerie at swancenter.com. Again, that's S-W-A-N-N center.com. I am also on Facebook. You can reach me at Swan Center, the same spelling, as well as Valerie, Dr. Valerie Popple on Facebook. And on Instagram, you can reach me at the Swan Center.
Perfect. Yeah. We both said perfect at the same time. We're going to put all of your links up on this episode. And of course, we're going to send it to you. And we are definitely going to have you back on the show for a much longer time, because we really want to delve more into the
healing.
And for all of our listeners who are listening from all over the world, we've got clients, listeners in Jamaica and Kenya and
China.
US and Canada, Sweden. Yay, it's a Sweden. Yes. Lena, we hear you out there, girl. So listen, we will be back, you guys. Dr. Valerie, it was so good to have you on the show, and we will be talking to you again soon. Thank you so much for taking the time in. Go take a dip in the pool for us there, will you?
Some girl, more. Yes, trust me, I will.
All right, thank you so much.
Some blessings. More, thank you, guys.
Wonderful. More sexy stuff coming back from the break with
Taylor Spark
and Paris Michelle Blair.
Stay tuned in and turned on to a sexual evolution here on the Sexy Lifestyle Network.
Organic Lovin', for the bodies you love to love. How do people describe you? Are you curious? Playful? Maybe sensual? Adventurous? How about open-minded? The truth is, no matter who you are, Organic Lovin' has something to indulge your fantasies. We offer only organic, natural, and eco-friendly intimate body products, including vegan condoms, organic lubricants, body-safe sex toy materials, and sex-positive books. You won't find anything harmful in our products or toys. We also have a full range of other experiences, including erotic seminars and exotic adults-only vacations. Receive our adult subscription box for a monthly sexual delight. Be educated, entertained, and informed. Organic Lovin'. For her, for him, for you. For the bodies you love to love, visit organiclovin.com. We offer shipping worldwide, so stop by the site anytime. Organic Lovin'. That's LOVEN.com.
You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. That's sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Taylor Sparks on Sisters of Sexuality radio show, sponsored by Lifestyle Cruising. And I'm here with my co-host,
Paris Michelle Blair, the one that has the biggest boobs in the
She is so funny. We are so excited to welcome our next guest to our show, Den Timmen, who is, first I have to say before even reading her bio, is a really good friend of ours. She's not only a good friend to the show, she's a professional friend. She is a Mexican board-certified sexologist with more than 15 years of experience. Den's work experience has ranged from doing work in the United Nations, teaching healthcare providers, lecturing in universities, developing training material for peacekeeping operations, facilitating sexual workshops, to seeing clients in their private clinical sexology practice. With a deep desire to transform taboos and stigma to sexual self-empowerment, Den has started as Pleasure Revolution to change the world one orgasm at a time. May I add, yay. Believing that intimacy, vulnerability, and pleasure are transformative, Den's life mission is to share knowledge as well as connect to people with honesty and authenticity. Den is the founder of Sexplore with Den Timmen, an organization that is a catalyst for change dedicated to creating holistic and healthier sex-positive spaces that support sexual self-empowerment. We work within a sexual justice framework where we recognize that everyone carries within them experiences, identities, and knowledge that makes each journey unique. Within Sexplore, Den facilitates sexual education workshops, develop sexuality continuing education programs for professionals, and provide sexual counseling in a clinical sexology setting. All of our services are centered on your needs, where we provide, or they provide, both ready-made and custom-tailored workshops and private sessions. So, Den Timmon, welcome to the Sisters of Sexuality radio show.
I am so excited and glad to be here. I love you both, and I really admire the work that you're doing. I think it's groundbreaking, honestly, to have amazing Black women in the field of sexuality, self-empowering other people in terms of their sexuality. I'm really proud to be here and happy to have been invited.
One of the things that we didn't mention about who you are and the powerful work that you do is, I just have to say, I know I'm not the only one, but you are an amazing mentor. That
yes.
time you spent with me, I've referenced it, I don't know how many times over the last few years I've been on this journey, but even if people don't even know who you are, mm-hmm. I let people know that my first experience that let me know I'm in a good place was when we were on the ship mm-hmm. and we were sitting together and I didn't know who you were or anything, and you told me the deal about this whole tribe and how you found the tribe and how to connect in the community of professionals. You know, there's a way to do it that shows respect to everyone. And I'm telling you what you told me, you're like, you got to give it some time now. How are your bills? You're good? Okay, so just have faith that you're here for a reason and you're going to find your value. Don't push up on all these people. They're going to come find every single thing you said, Den.
Yep.
You're just so amazing. For you not to know who I am and not to know what kind of work I do or anything, you just put me in a place that made me feel loved and taken care of on a professional level, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Thank you.
I can say ditto to that on both sides. Not only, you know, as I said, she's a great friend, but both professionally and personally. I mean, we, in full disclosure here, you know, even my husband and I have counseled with Den personally and have found great relief for what you have offered. So Den and I have had the opportunity, as well, along with Parrish, to teach and educate in some of the same areas. Den not only works privately with couples, but also she counsels and educates in the lifestyle arena. Tell our audience, and we have listeners from Canada and Kenya and Japan and China and Jamaica.
I love this.
Tell them how you even got started. I mean, why sex? Why not brain surgery? Why sex?
Actually, I think that sex is like brain surgery in one way or another. It is our most vulnerable and authentic aspect of ourselves. We're both naked physically and emotionally. Mm-hmm. We are sexual beings since the moment we are born, because we are here to search for and experience pleasure in the way we want to define it. So sex is a space where everything collides: emotions, intimacy, connection, touching, pleasure, pain as well, hardships, shame. There is so much wrapped around sex that it is just an area that, if you want to really understand humans, mm-hmm. the way that we are, the way that we function, both culturally and politically and in every sphere, sex is really important. Like, for example, what's happening right now in the U.S. in terms of, like, and I'm not going to get very political, but in terms of a little bit of controlling sexual professionals who are in the sexual industry, whether it's sex workers, sexual educators, yes. sex counselors, right? There are ways of wanting to control that, and morality and shame and sex negativity
exactly.
that tells us a lot about the society that we live in. Who we fuck, how we fuck, who we want to have sex with also tells us a lot about our values. So for me, sex is everything. If I really want to understand the world I live in, and I want to understand myself and the people I love and the people I hate,
yeah.
sex is a great place to look into.
So I want to say, the way that I identify the idea of someone who's sexy is always about confidence. It just like oozes out of every pore in your skin. Where did you get that confidence from? Was it a journey? Were you born into it? How did you get the confidence to be everything that you are?
How did I get the confidence to be? I went through a journey. I am the person I am now, and waiting to see who I will become by living life. I was I am a, like it said in my bio, I am a Mexican because I was born and raised in Mexico, and then I immigrated to Canada. That's one of my identities, immigrant. And I'm Jewish. So I'm a Jewish Mexican person that grew up in a very conservative societies. Like Mexico is very conservative, and so is Jewish society in Mexico. So I grew up in a very traditional conservative family and society. And I had a lot of negativity around myself, around my body, around my sexuality, around who I wanted to have sex with. I identify as a queer person that fucks anything that moves as long as it's not an animal, a child I'm attracted to, and it's consensual.
Does that make you... Does that make you pansexual?
Pansexual is one way to identify, but for me, my sexuality is political. That's why I identify as queer. But I also have to accept that it took a long time for me to get. It's not confidence, you know, Parrish. I think that what I have is I accepted myself. I grew comfortable in my own skin, in my own body, in who I am. I think that's what confidence means to me. And it was hard. It was a struggle. It was a struggle to become aware. It was a struggle to have consciousness. It was a struggle to then accept myself and then, in one way or another, come out to the society and interact with people in my true, authentic self. And all of those things have been a struggle. But the journey has been beautiful, and it has inspired me to not only continue to work on myself, not to help, because I don't think I help anyone. Mm-hmm. I support, I witness, and I walk the journey with other people, whether it's professionally or or personally. So I guess that's how I got confident. I became comfortable in my own skin.
Mm-hmm. So I want you to be patient with me and teach me along the way of, like I ask all of our friends professionally and personally, I'm learning the language that feels good to people who don't identify as a heterosexual woman, you know, even though I might look at them and think that that's who they are. So please, when you want to and when you can you do those little corrections? Because that helps me learn how to communicate with words that feel good to everybody. Yeah.
Everybody has words that feel good for them. And the beautiful aspect of this is that you just asked for support. And that takes a lot of courage, you know, to say, well, you know, I don't have the words. I didn't have the words at one point or another, too. I had never seen two women kissing while I was growing up. And I didn't know that existed. I didn't have the word. So for sure, yes, I am here to support you in that journey.
Wonderful. So my questions are always trying to find out who are these people, and I would like to say as a woman, but I want you to help me identify the right word to make you feel good, but you're so sexy to me, and I've never seen your bio like this, and I'm like, how does she do all of this, knowing that you're traveling the world, working with couples and all that, but you still say sexy? How do you manage everything you do in work and keep your sexy?
Wow. Number one, thank you for the sexy. I'm blushing. It's always nice to hear that. I'm very passionate about what I do. I think that's how I really don't think this is a job for me. This is like it says in my bio, this is my passion. I found my calling. I don't ever want to retire. I found my life. So when I travel the world or I'm quote unquote working, I'm just living my life, and I want my life to be as sexy as possible. Even when sexy means that I'm heartbroken, even when sexy means that I'm in pain, even when sexy means that it's a difficult moment of my life, because I do have those. Like I am a sexologist and I do this for a living, but I am human and I go through a lot of struggle, and I think that struggle is also sexy as much as being in a room with 500 couples fucking in front of you.
So we are going into our commercial break, and going into that, what I would like to hear more about is the number one things, like what you just said, that's hard for a lot of people, you know, and a lot of people that are listening where they're losing their sexy. That's why they're listening to these, you know, episodes, to try to get their sexy back, you know, that type of thing. So when we come back, I would love, from your perspective, how do you help couples bring their sexy back or find their sexy for the first time? And, you know, maybe like one or two practical things that, you know, you could suggest to couples if that's comfortable for you.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you want to know when we get back?
I want to know that. And I want to echo her thought process on working in the lifestyle or doing the work around sex and sexology, sex and sexual healing or sexual health, and just working in the field of sex. I know when I discovered it, I was like, oh my God, these are my people. I love these people. And, you know, so I just want to hear more of what she has to say about what you said. So I'm also interested in hearing the answer to that, because when I listen, I learn a little bit more. So we are going to take a break. We are here with our guest, Den Timmon. I am Taylor Sparks, and I'm here with my co-host, Parrish Michelle Blair. And we will be back with Den in just a moment from the break. So don't go away.
Craving more from your sexy lifestyle? Search our businesses, services, blogs, articles, and videos, and keep in touch with us by subscribing to our newsletter, all on thesexylifestyle.com.
You are listening to Sisters of Sexuality. To check in with the show and ask your questions, send an email to sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. That's sistersofsexuality@gmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Sisters of Sexuality, Five Shades of Play. We're spending quality time with amazing people, bringing you more information about sexuality, about empowerment, healing, whatever it is that you want to know. You're in a great space. We're going to take care of you. We are with Den, who is right before break. She was sharing, when I say we, I'm sorry. You're supposed to jump in there, sis.
Go ahead.
I'm with Taylor Sparks, the other sister of sexuality. Den Timmon was sharing with us aspects of her journey. I'm looking at her thinking she's got it all together. When I grow up, I could just be like Den. Okay, and also you have to correct me, because I know she's probably not the appropriate thing, Den, but our appropriate term, but I really look up to you, I always have. And so sharing this quality time with you right now, right before the break, you kind of colored in the picture for me, like, okay, it's the same thing for Den as it was for me. It's a journey. It's a owning who you are and then having the confidence to share that with others and going through rejection and love and all of that. So now you seem more like a real person than someone that's on a pedestal, the way that I always see you, because you operate so elegantly in everything that you do. But you and what you do is you bring so much power to couples that feel like they're losing their power as a couple because they're not synergized anymore. They're not having sex. They're not affectionate and all those things that come up. And when we went to break, I wanted you to come back and, you know, share like whatever you feel will bring, you know, like maybe some tangible results for couples if they just try what you're talking about right now and then find you later to go on their journey with you.
Here's the thing, you know, I was thinking about it, Parrish, and I think because that's something that I'm working with right now in my clinical practice a lot of people saying I'm losing my sexy, or we don't have our sexy, or which is harder, right? I think that a lot of couples don't want to admit, or individuals, it's really a struggle to admit that you're losing your sexy, right? Mm-hmm. Like you avoid it at all costs. Like you just say, I'm fine. And then you don't seek the support that you need. Whether it's, some people just need to spice up their sexy lives and get some sex toys, right? Mm-hmm. They would go to Taylor. Mm-hmm. Or some people need more of a spiritual connection. So they would try a type of orgasmic meditation or manifestation, like the work that you do, Parrish, right? But it's about knowing, first of all, it's about getting an awareness that it's okay to lose your sexy.
Hmm.
It's okay, because we're not always sexy. Like, I think that's what I was trying to allude to before. Like, I'm so flattered that you always see me as sexy, but sometimes I might always be sexy, but sometimes I don't feel sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to accept that. And you know, sometimes you need to look for support. Me, the sexologist who sees a lot of clients, I was going through a rough time. And I went to my own therapist and said, can we up my therapy to 3 times a week? And I went to look for a support group. I knew I needed support that I couldn't give myself.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing first and then accepting that something is going on and that you can't deal with it and that you need your community, your people, elders, experts, people that have a little bit more wisdom and knowledge, tools that could help you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
it's soy, isn't that hard for men? I don't know if it's so much hard for men. I think it's not just men. I think just depending on the personality and where the family, the people, how they were raised in their family. And for, I think, whether it's men or women, that
or
some people...
Or beyond.
Beyond. Mm-hmm. But I think some people have a challenge when knowing when to ask for help. So it's kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, some people will get like a little ping in their gum and they go, oh, maybe I bit down on something. Yeah. And then 3 weeks later, they'll get like a little bit of a pain. They'll take an aspirin. By the time they go to the doctor, their whole jar is swollen with an abscess, as opposed to saying, you know what? And before I go into that, I would like your recommendation. When do you think is a good time for anyone to decide maybe we should talk to somebody? You know, they don't have to wait until they have, you know, a full fallout, you know?
At any time, whenever you're feeling like something is, because the first person that you need to talk to is yourself.
Right.
So whenever you're feeling like something is off, first start talking to yourself. Be like, hey, something is off. Let me start feeling what that is. Let me start. And if I can figure it out, who are my people? Do I have a partner or partners that I want to talk to? Who are my friends? Who are my lovers? And you start talking. It's about connecting. Who can I connect to? I am not alone. So it's this awareness. So I think I would summarize it into consciousness, awareness, connection.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And curiosity to learn new things. Mm-hmm. Openness to be open to growth. Right?
Yes.
And so I think that it's about that. If you feel like you've lost your sexy, it's about being aware of it, connecting to people, being curious, being open to unlearning everything that you know and relearning the things that you need to know and keeping those that still feel good.
Yeah.
And also like understanding the shame that we carry. That's really hard. People don't want to talk about shame. This is we grew up with such a sex negativity that we're not even aware of, that is unconscious, right? There are so many people in monogamous relationships that perhaps shouldn't be in monogamous relationships because that's not their style. But they don't know any better because we grow up with this notion that we should all be monogamous.
And that's with one person, even if it's like one person at a time, as Esther Perel has, who has alluded to that, you know, people think...
Yeah.
You know, there used to be a time where monogamy was you married one person, you stay with them for life until death do you part.
Yeah.
But now people are under the notion that monogamy is one person at a time. It's like, no, that's not what monogamy was supposed to be. It's, it may not be their thing.
And maybe it is, and maybe that it isn't. But it's about trying to find out what is your groove.
Yeah.
And knowing that there's so much out there, you know, don't yuck. And I always say this when I'm teaching people, don't yuck anybody's yum.
Exactly. I love that phrase.
You know, your kink might not be my kink, but your kink is okay. And my kink might not be your kink, but my kink is okay.
Do you think all couples or individuals should explore kink?
It's not about do I think. Mm-hmm. I could be deemed as an expert. I'm not an expert. What I have is a lot of knowledge and wisdom, both personal and professional, that I'm out there to share. I cannot tell you what is good for you, or I can't have a general statement. I don't know if everybody should explore kink, right? What I do know is that kink is out there, and if you're curious about it, go and check it out. If it calls you, go and check it out.
Right.
If it doesn't, then don't go check it out. Don't do something that doesn't feel good to you. And maybe it doesn't right now, and it will in the future. And maybe it does right now, and in the future it won't. So it's not a prescription to go and try everything and this is going to change your marriage or this is going to change your relationship because it's changing everybody else's. I think that the basic tenets are consent and respect boundaries. And that starts with your own. Are you respecting your own boundaries? And then are you respecting the boundaries of the people that you're relating to?
Okay, I got one question if I can get in your sexy business. I would like to know, in the year of 2018, what are like one or two of the sexiest things you experienced in 2018? So we know what is the day in the life of a sexologist, sex expert like when they say they've done something sexy?
Ooh, what'd you do? What'd you do sexy, Dan? What'd you do? Tell me.
God almighty. All right. I have to say that going on a cruise to Alaska was pretty sexy. Mm. You know, I don't want to name names and companies and all that because that's not my thing. But I did go on a cruise to Alaska, a lifestyle cruise, which was amazing. And I really like working in the lifestyle world because every world is different. The queer world, the lifestyle world, this world. But the lifestyle world has a freedom to it that I really enjoy. Like, I actually, it's not only work for me. I really enjoy going on these cruises. And a lot of these people are community because I go on so many of these events that it's just like, hey, let's catch up. Let's go to dinner. So Alaska was pretty sexy because it was a first time thing for me. Like, I had never been to Alaska and I love doing first time things for me.
Yes.
And another sexy thing is I absolutely adore the clients that I have right now in my clinical practice. I am fully booked and I only have a waiting list, but I get to choose my clients. And each of them have given me little bits of wisdom. In 2018, we have really grown. I've really grown as a clinical sexologist, specifically because of the clients that I'm working with. This year, we've worked a lot around shame and vulnerability and connection. A lot of it was actually people from the lifestyle with performance anxiety. There's so many people that have anxiety in the lifestyle that don't like to talk about it because they're ashamed of it. And they need help and support.
Yeah.
Right? And I've had a lot of clients actually be vulnerable about that this year, and we've gotten them through it. So
perfect. That is so, yeah. And I don't know if I've met any women with performance anxiety, but I know that they exist because you usually hear about the men having the performance anxiety, but it can happen to women too. With, I don't know if the situation is right for me, and I don't know if this is something I want to do right now.
But the faking of the orgasm is performance anxiety because they're not feeling pleasure. It's just you can't visually see it as much as you can with men because men have, you know, cisgender males have outies and cisgender females have innies. So it's really easy to see the performance anxiety on somebody that has a penis, right?
Yeah.
But on a woman or somebody that has a vulva, it's harder to see. But women experience performance anxiety, or folks, everybody experiences performance anxiety.
So that is powerful in and of itself. So where and how can people tap into you and learn more about resources that can help them move past that and other blocks they might have in their sexuality?
Well, they can find me at sexplorewithdentamine.com. Or I'm sure that we can post it in the Facebook page, like where they can find me. But I do want to say to folks, you know, I'm not the only one. There are amazing people like Parrish and like all of the Sisters of Sexuality and Taylor that offer different services. And we are a community of sexuality professionals there to support you. So
they want to know where to find you for counseling, for individual counseling. I know we are going to post all your social media links, but just, I mean, you have so many things to offer them, and we are so happy that, because you do counsel with people via Skype as well, correct?
I do. I have a global practice, even though I'm based in Toronto, either people come and fly in here or we do it Skype. So explore with Dentamine, and all my information is there in my website. They can look at my clinical practice, or they can send me an email to dtemin@explorewithdentamine.com, and we will post all of that because people won't remember, but we can post it so they can.
Thank you.
We will. We are so honored to have you. We're going to have you back on the show for a full hour. There's so much information for you to share. You are a wealth of knowledge in so many ways, Den, and we are just excited to have you here. This is Taylor Sparks, founder and sex goddess with Organic Lovin', Sister of Sexuality. You can find all of us at sistersofsexuality.com, as well as all of our social media. And Parrish, where can they find you?
I'm Parrish Blair TV in social media. I'm also the Parrish Blair Love Affair Tour. And so you can follow my journey, how I interact with the Sisters of Sexuality, and all the amazing, beautiful people we meet along with Den Temin or Temin? I'm sorry, I didn't know.
If you're doing it in Spanish, it's Temin. And if you're doing it in English, it's Temin. Same thing, different accent.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We love you so much. And we can't wait to have you back on the show again. And we will catch up soon. Guys, we are sponsored by lifestylecruising.com. Thank you so much for listening in tonight. You can hear us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and 24/7 on demand. We will catch up with you soon.
Love and light.
Hey, sexy people. If you're ready to start your sexual evolution, we've got some amazing prizes to give away. Some of the great prizes include Womanizer, the most advanced pleasure product for stronger, longer, and more intense orgasms. SDC.com is giving away a lifetime membership to the sexiest online community of open-minded people. Touch from experience, warm. It warms your personal lube, then automatically dispenses it with a wave of your hand. And we can't forget, Throes of Passion Waterproof Pleasure Blanket. Keep your bed dry no matter how wet it gets. For your chance to win one of these amazing prizes, simply send us an email at info@thesexylifestyle.com with the word contest in the subject line. Your name will be entered into the weekly drawing, and remember to visit our website regularly for a list of the winners and more information about all the amazing prizes and sponsors. Go to thesexylifestyle.com contest page and enter as often as you like.
Thank you for tuning in to Sisters of Sexuality. Please join Taylor Sparks, Jet Setting Jasmine, Parrish Michelle Blair, Marla Renee Stewart, and Tiffany Janae again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sexy Lifestyle Network. Same time, same place, next week.